Blog Talk Radio.
How you doing? This is DJ Sanacori. Me here, you there, Taínos all over the world, man. That's right. And guess what? We're back. We're better than ever. This is Taíno Radio. I got Edwin Cedeño on the drums all the way from Guave. That's right. His music lives on. The late, great Edwin Cedeño, and the song that you just heard was Guasábara. Here in Taíno Radio, we declare Guasábara. We declare war non-violently through education, okay? And providing Taínos everywhere with a voice to share and to, you know, be Taíno. So let me just say right now, I want to introduce my co-hostesses. We did a great show. I believe it was Sunday. And I want to introduce you to two great, great women in the Taíno movement. The first one, Anani. Are you there?
Sagüe, hello. I'm right here.
Hey, all right, all right. And we have another co-hostess. And she's from the mountains. Well, I forgot to tell you, you are from the mountains of Washington Heights. And we have another co-hostess. She's from the mountains of the Poconos. Her name is Bana.
Hi.
Wait, I think. I thought you tripped or something up the mountain, coming down the mountain.
I kind of did, but I'm here.
Hey, man, we got first aid. Hold on, where's the intern? Damn, the intern's not around. What's wrong with that intern? We would give you a first aid kit. Huh?
I need that right now, yes.
If anyone wants to intern here in TainoRadio.com, just let me know. And, hey, we're good, you know? So listen, how you guys doing, man, from the last show? You guys doing good?
Yeah, feeling really good. Last show had me pumped. I kind of want to do this every time with you guys.
Yes.
Wait, hold on. You said you felt pumped?
Yeah, I felt pumped. Like, I want to do this whole time with you guys.
All right, hold on. You know what that means, right? There you go. Bana, what do you think?
Oh, I love it. I love it. I'm feeling great. Last show really got me pumped as well. And I'm excited.
Wait, hold on. You said that you were pumped?
Yes.
Huh?
I said yes.
Okay. Now why were you pumped? Tell me. So, no,
because
tell the listeners,
of the
why would you
excitement.
All right. So, what was something that was that we can recap from last time that was exciting? Go ahead, go ahead. Let's see. See, you're speechless.
I'm definitely speechless. But no, we
you know why,
about...
right? Wait, hold on. You know why you're speechless, right?
Tell me.
Because you were pumped. Because you said you were pumped, right?
Uh-huh. That's right.
All right, say it one more time. You were pumped.
I was pumped.
You were pumped. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is history. We got Anani and Bana. They were both punked. There you go. I don't know, man. I'm having issues with my keyboard here, but it's all right. Go ahead, man. So tell me, man, anything you want to share from last show? Any of you that want to, you know, that made you pump and stuff for tonight's show?
Yeah, basically last show, for those of you who couldn't make it or couldn't hear it, we were talking about what makes a Taino indigenous Caribbean person. And it was interesting to just kind of talk about the creation stories and how it connects to like our mind, body, and soul in today's time. And yeah.
Oh, man, that's cool. Wait, I just got some. Go ahead, Bana, say something. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, but you guys can hear me, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we can hear
Wait,
you.
Wait, sound check, sound check. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Sound check.
1, 2, 3, yes.
All right, cool.
I also wanted to add, too, we dive deeper into the four earthly medicines, what each meant to us. And then we started talking about, you know, climate change and the environment, especially in the indigenous communities. And it was really great.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's fun, man. Well, you know, today we're gonna take you to another step forward. This is something that. Oh wait, I just got some email. Hold on. Some people lost the link. Oh no, where's that intern? Hey intern, where are you? Wait, hold on. I have to send a link. Sorry, I have to like link to several people. If I get cut off by some reason, then you guys keep the show going, right?
Okay.
Hold on a second.
Good.
All right, we got there. Okay, I just sent some links. Yeah, we're gonna take it a step further today. We're gonna go to a place where actually for the past. I would say a year and a half, I've been getting some emails about, you know, I ask people to always email me at TainoRadio1491@gmail.com, send me any questions, and there's some people I have to get back to, you know, that want to be on the show. Please be patient, but check this out. There's a question that always comes up, I believe is, I haven't statistically analyze this, but I believe it's the number one question, and that is, does the devil or demons or personification of evil exist in the Taino universe, both in the tradition and now in the present? So that's a loaded question, and it's always been asked. So today, we're going to address this once and for all. Not that I was scared or anything. But we're going to present it today. What do you guys think about that?
I'm excited. I feel like this isn't really talked about amongst the creation stories or, like, in the Taino community. Like, we don't really go over the demonic, if there is so, side of things.
There you go. How about you, Bana?
I definitely agree. I feel like this is going to be a very interesting topic to go more in depth about. So I'm definitely excited to talk more about it, to spread more awareness.
Okay, great. As we get into the top, hold on a second, guys, don't move. As we get into the topic of everything, we're gonna I'm gonna ask people to call in later on after we're done with the topic. and we're going to ask people to to share some questions. Maybe you have any insights. You have what we're going to discuss later, indigenous cultural continuity. Maybe you heard some old stories, you know. Maybe you live in the country, the mountains. There's all a whole bunch of stories there. But actually, hold on a second. Someone said they can't hear us. Oh, wow. Someone's under tornado warning. Damn, that's too bad. Our prayers go out. Back to Tennessee listeners out there. We got to say, offer some prayers out there. Tornadoes, that's not easy. Up and down in Tennessee. Well, before we open the discussion, before we get the listeners to ask questions later on, the guest call-in number is 515-605-9836, 515-605-9836. I have a couple of guests that actually live in the mountains, remote mountains of Borinquen, and they have some stories they want to share before the discussion on this topic we're going to discuss about evil and, you know, demonic forces, okay? So I think it's appropriate. They live in the mountains. They live in the mountains. They know what's going down. So go for it. Wait a minute. Who let these cookies in? Hold on. Those are expert witnesses.
That caught me off guard. I was like, wait, is someone really coming on?
These are expert witnesses. They live in the mountains, right? In the darkness.
That's true. They see everything.
So let me ask you, Coquise, are you scared at night when the sun goes down? Are you scared when it gets completely dark in the rainforest? I don't know. They sound too excited. I don't think they're scared.
I don't think so.
Oh, man. So, you know what? Let's get started right now. Personally, myself, Anani, you know, we live in a diaspora, right? And we're always constantly bombarded with images of demonic. Oh, wait. I forgot the disclaimer. Hold on, guys. Can you hear me pretty good?
Yes.
All right. Here's the disclaimer. Ready for this? I know there's a lot of people out there who's listening or who might come across this show on the internet, or you featured listeners out there. Thank you for downloading the show and all you who are listening live. Here's the disclaimer. This show is not going to make fun of anyone who believes in the devil or believes in demonic forces based on your religious beliefs. We're here to respect people's religious beliefs. We're not here to make fun. We're not here to ridicule or to attack. But this is a Taino, indigenous Caribbean perspective on the problem of evil, aka devil, demons. So just want to put that out there as a disclaimer. We're not here because I know there's a lot of Orthodox church, Christian churches that believe in the devil. There's some Jewish communities, Orthodox communities that do believe in the devil. There's a lot of other traditions as well. So we're not here to attack. We're not here to fight, right? What do you guys think about that?
No, yeah, definitely. You know, everybody has their own belief systems, and it's interesting to hear about, but also like the ancient kind of the ancient or like old time beliefs about the demons, and I feel like it's going to be different from what people think about it in today's times. So I'm really excited to hear about what you have to say, Sana Kori, about the creation stories in it.
Yeah, we're definitely going to get to that, you know. But Sana, what I know, I gave you an assignment. Maybe you could add some insight, since we live here in North America. You know, we got. No, I'm gonna talk about Hollywood later, but did you run across any any information about North American tribal indigenous peoples and their understanding of this problem of evil, the demons, or the devil? Have you come across that in your research?
From my research that I've been working on, I'm noticing that a lot of different indigenous tribes have, like, their own belief systems.
Okay.
Other ones that don't really believe in, like, the devil or anything that's demonic. So that's what I've been learning about from other different tribes, that some of them don't really believe in that perspective. So I'm definitely
right.
excited to hear about our indigenous perspective on Taíno spirituality when it comes in regards of demons and the devil and so on and so forth.
Okay. Very interesting. So there's a lot of belief systems. I know I've often in contemporary TV shows, Netflix, there always, you know, one popular thing is the skinwalkers, you know. I don't know if you guys came
yeah.
across that, but that seems to be a popular
yes.
Popular show on Netflix. And you see it on YouTube about the skinwalkers and on Skinwalker Ranch and so on. You guys want to add something to that about the influence of Hollywood or related to Native American culture when it reaches the evil things? What do you think?
I think, you know, it's no surprise that Hollywood loves to over-exaggerate entertainment. And I don't know why, but for some reason, people love to see horror, and they see that as entertainment, and they see that as, like, something so fascinating, instead of, like, coming to a better understanding of where it all comes from. Like, it definitely comes from something, you know? And
mm-hmm.
I feel like a lot of it is just fake and over-exaggerated, like those nun movies. I think they're also, like, secretly just, like, making fun of these evil entities that come from different cultures and stuff. Hollywood loves to, especially in the indigenous side of entertainment, they love to over-exaggerate negative and positive things. So, yeah.
Yeah, what do you think, Bana, on that?
When it comes to in regards of, like, Hollywood, I definitely agree with the fact that Hollywood has a tendency to over-exaggerate things, especially when they don't understand it or they don't want
yeah.
to understand it. Hollywood has a tendency that they like to... How can I put this? They kind of just want to, like, glorify it as well.
Mm-hmm.
That just also just comes to terms where they kind of just want to make it, like, mainstream, when in reality, from my personal practice, I don't consider it as mainstream, because it's just, like, my belief system. You know, everybody has their own perspective, their own belief system. So when
mm-hmm.
it comes to, like, Hollywood, they have a tendency to glorify it in a way and not actually, like, understanding it, because they kind of want to have a certain perspective on it, and then they kind of, like, want to twist it as well, especially when it comes
mm-hmm.
to, like, indigenous cultures. They like to twist it in their own form and give
right.
a lot of misinformation as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, usually you, when sometimes you see these horror movies, I'll show you right now. I'll give you a little, you know, hey, maybe I can do a little, what do you call that again? Man, I can't think today. Improv. I'll do the improv, right? You guys are ready?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, let's say, okay, Anani, you're Anani. Bana Yabana,
mm-hmm.
right? And I'm Sana Cody. No, I should change my name. My name is Jose. We're in the middle of the rainforest, and I found a map that says that We need to look for this famous medicine man who's not afraid of any ghosts or demons. Ready? Ready for this? Ready for this? Hey, Anani, it's kind of scary out there in the forest. You sure that the map says this medicine man lives here?
Yeah.
It's your turn, Anani. We're improvising here.
No, I'm sorry. There's actually trouble outside. My window, I hear people arguing. So that kind of caught me off.
Oh, where?
Yeah, there are people fighting right now.
Oh, man. You know what? Let's bring that up later. That's going to be part of the topic later. But, yeah. So,
I'm sorry. Can you repeat what you said?
Okay, we're in the rainforest somewhere, okay? We got to look for this famous medicine man. Ready? Take two. Hey, Anani, are you sure this is the right place that says the map that we have to find this old medicine man?
Yes, I heard down along the river at the very end. We will find the sacred smoke, and apparently there's a medicine man.
Hey, Bana, what do you think about that map? Did you get a chance to look at it? I think Arani's not correct. I don't know. We're lost.
I didn't have a chance to look at it. I was just going with the flow.
Okay. See, Bana be the first one to get killed.
Okay. Yeah.
Wait a minute. There he is. And I need you. All right. All right. So I'll be the medicine man. Ready? What are you doing here, young ladies and handsome men?
I'm here.
Is your tongue just taken away by the skin crawler?
Almost. The skin crawler almost. The skinwalker almost got a hold of my tongue, but I was able to fight them off.
Wow, you guys look really, really scared. So why are you here? All right, time out. You guys are too scared, man. What's up? Okay, I'm just giving an example how in movies they always, like, whenever there's, like, this evil entity, or they always bring the native guy out, right? Or the native woman, right? Or witch. And she's, you know, the so-called witch. And they're, like, going to attack these demons, right? It's going to be this massive fight, right? Good versus evil. So that's, like, a Hollywood thing. All right. Let's get serious here. So, how about you, Anani, in your research? Did you come across anything here in the North American culture in the sense of talking about demons or just evil and stuff?
Yeah, so in my research, I found that in Northern American, Native Americans, they don't really believe in those, like, demons or the devil. They necessarily more believe in the choices that people make, whether it's good or bad, that's where the evil comes in. So whether someone murders someone or tortures someone, that's the act of evil, right? Because that doesn't come from, like, the devil necessarily. Those are choices that people make, because we all have a choice to make good or bad in this world. And we don't live in a perfect world. So the Native Americans, specifically in the Northern, believe that the choice that you make, that's where the evil comes in, whether you decide to do something evil. And I know when I was studying back then about the Aztecs specifically, which isn't Northern, but they also believe in, like, the same thing where, like, the choice you make, you will suffer the consequences when you decide on doing something evil or mischievous.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, right. That's something I you know, in future shows, I'm going to invite some actual spiritual leaders to come on the show and to share about their traditions. So so right now, let's go down to the Caribbean now. And do any of you have any oral stories, anything you heard in your family or as children or maybe through your friends about the demonic, evil, the devil, something like that? Or any teachings on evil, even? Have you come across any of that?
Specifically from the Caribbean?
Yeah.
Well, actually from you, when I was little and I didn't
Wait a minute, hold on.
Sleep.
Wait a minute, for me, hold on a second. All right, go ahead.
When I was little and I didn't want to go to sleep, you would say, hey, the cuckoo's going to come out and get you if you don't go to sleep. Because you said that I would be left in the dark and the cuckoo would come for me. And I got scared and I ran to bed.
Oh, my God. Did it work?
Yes, it did work.
Oh, man. Now, you know, now that I'm listening to that, kind of sounds like psychological torture. I don't know, man. I'm sorry if I scared you.
No, I mean, a lot of people do that with their kids. If the kids don't listen, what's the thing that will work for sure? You scare them a little bit, right?
Yeah, right. The boogeyman, right? The boogeyman.
Yeah. But, and that's why kids, they get scared of looking under their bed and stuff.
Wow. I think what you're referring to is the cuckoo, right? The cuckoo.
The cuckoo,
I know in Dominican Republic, la gente que está escuchando la República Dominicana, estamos hablando del cuco. Y yo creo que ustedes dicen, si guapa, que viene a comer los niños, ¿no? That's the si guapa in Dominican Republic, they call it.
Wow.
You know, both those names sound scary, right? Cuco, si guapa. You know, so, but I believe si guapa was a woman, though. She was like an old woman who used to walk, like when you try to capture her, you can never find her because you follow her tracks, right? You will follow her tracks, but you can never find her because her feet was in reverse. So you think you're following her, but she's actually going the other way. So you can never find her because her feet were backwards. So that's, you know, that would scare me as a kid, right?
Wow.
Yeah, man, I would. Es guapa que tiene los pies torcidos, ¿verdad? Nunca lo puede encontrar porque está caminando al otro lado, ¿no? So, just talking Spanish for Dominican listeners out there. We have some Dominican, Cuban listeners, Taino Radio, and I keep promising them that I'll speak more Spanish, you know. How about you, Mana? You have any stories? Have you heard any stories or anything?
It was the same thing as well growing up, was about the cuckoo.
Wow.
That's literally the only thing that I remember. And then as a kid, I used to be afraid of the dark. So when, like, my parents would tell me about the cuckoo, yeah, that would terrify me.
I know, man. Listen, I'm trauma. Listen, I think that's why I shared this with Anani as a baby, right? Because see now I feel kind of bad because now I always traumatize and I pass the trauma to you, Anani. Oh my God.
It's okay. I honestly, I didn't get scared from it. It was just that one time when you said that.
Yeah, but you know, sometimes I you know, like all of us, you know, when you try to meditate, relax, you know. You know, you shut the lights, you put the candle, right? I'm telling you, this is a confession. And I'm a legend, Mexica, right? But sometimes when I try to go into that trance, right, try to imitate the cave scene, sometimes I put my feet under my bed, and something comes to me, like I'll look down, and it's almost like the child comes out. I'm like, yo, is there something under the bed? You know, is something going to grab my feet? You know, and my imagination goes wild, you know. That's in the beginning of the trying to get comfortable, you know. And it's crazy, though. I got these little solar lights, and I keep them on. I keep one on when I sleep. I think it's part of that, you know, the cuckoo. So,
no, literally.
I do the same thing, too. I have a little LED light, and I leave one of it. Because I'm like, I'm not going to sleep in pitch black.
See, tonight in Taino Radio, we got some confessions about our fears. All you listeners out there, call in later if you have any similar trauma from the cuco or Siwapa. 515-605-9836. So the boogeyman, right? That's in a lot of cultures have that same thing, the boogeyman. I want to apologize to the listeners. I couldn't find this. So I read this many years ago, and sometimes I have a really bad habit of not writing down my sources. But I remember I was reading an article that compared the parental skills of the Taino, our ancestors, and the parental skills of the colonizers in the beginning when they started mixing. And I read, and I want to say it was De La Casas, Bartolomé de la Casa, but I read that that the Spaniards were very angry with the moms, the mothers, when they would teach the children about the cuco. They thought it was awful to do that. And the Taino parents and mothers were angry at the Spaniards because they would use physical violence to discipline their children. So it's kind of like a cultural clash, right? Psychological compared to physical violence. I'll take the psychological any old day, right? Compared to the physical punishment, you know? Because the cuco is more like to prevent, right? A prevention measure, you know, so you won't get in trouble, right? As with the violence, it's like, boom, you're getting punished. I don't think that's good. I never agree with that, but what do you guys think?
Well, for me, I say both are pretty messed up. Physical, I feel like it hurts in the moment, and that creates its own kind of separate trauma. But the emotional, too, kind of sets that trauma. I mean, the mental, because then that child will grow up to, you know, how we are now with, we need a light on to sleep with. Or in the back of our mind, we're always going to be thinking, something's watching us while we're sleeping. Or, because we grew up, you know, as kids being vulnerable, it is, we were told this thing as an act of discipline, but it also creates a fear in the back of our head. But I feel like we naturally, as human beings, kind of naturally drawn to more of the mental discipline rather than the physical, because, you know, obviously physical is its own issue, but I feel like we all naturally do it. Like, I'm a nanny myself, and sometimes I find myself telling the kids, don't do that because Santa's watching, you know? We try to, put fear in these kids' minds, discipline them. So I feel like we naturally do that, so...
Right. Exactly. You know, it's tough. It's tough. I was raised in a Boricua household by my great grandmother, and she was very much in tune with the spirits. She was a medium, and she also used spiritualism as a way of life, spiritual way of life. And I remember she used to have all her saints. She used to talk to the dead, you know. And I never heard her say the devil or Diablo. You know, I never heard her say that. But she was always careful about protection, protecting the household, protecting her altar. You know, she was very much into that. And I remember a couple of times in my childhood, there were other people who tried to attack. Not physically, but spiritually, and I remember her talking about that and doing rituals to protect, you know. And that went out. That I saw that personally, you know, the attacks from people who confronted her, you know, and it was crazy. But they wouldn't fight physically; they would fight through the spiritual tools they had, you know. And I found that whoa, you know. I don't know if you guys have any similar experiences with that, but how, you know, to fight, what's our career? I know personally, you know, she was a Caribbean elder. She was big into protection, but I never really heard her say about the devil, but her whole big thing was the protection. That was important. You wear a necklace. That necklace had power, you know, to protect you, you know. It was certain bath she did, baños, you know, to protect from disease, protect from mal ojo, right? The evil eye, right? Well, there you go, the evil eye.
Yeah.
Karma. You guys got an You got any insights on that? Any personal experiences, whatever?
Caribbean
wine.
So yes, I have personal experience because I have my own personal practice. But what I have learned about my grandmothers from my mom and my dad and their personal practice, like my mom's mom, she did a lot of like the smoke, and she worked a lot with the plants. And she did a lot of like, you know, cleansing. And then like my dad's mom, she did the same thing. And she did a lot of like the spiritual, like baths and the teas. So I grew up like knowing that like protection was very, very important. Mm-hmm. And as I got older in my personal spiritual practice, I always protect myself regardless. Especially when I'm going outside, when I'm going like to, you know, school, to work, I'm always protecting myself because like, you know, you never know. And I feel like when it comes to like, you know, spiritual like attack, that is like the first thing people, you know, do, especially if they set an intention. And sometimes it could not even be an intention. Like it could just happen, you know, accidentally. So I learned how to protect myself all the time, especially when I do like my own personal like ceremonies. And with me being a medium as well, I'm always protecting myself when I am connecting to the other side. So that's my personal experience with that.
Nice. How about you, Ani? Any insights on that? Any people you know or? Protecting.
I feel like I was always told like protect your energy by protecting yourself with who you engage with. If you know someone has bad vibes or just naturally choose to do the wrong things, it takes the decision to not engage with those kind of people to protect yourself. So it doesn't, I feel like it doesn't always have to be like you wear a necklace or like crystals or like burning smoke to protect yourself. I feel like if you really pay attention to like your surroundings, like we all have natural instinct and we know that like to protect ourselves, we have to analyze energies from people, from activities. And I feel like we're all capable of that. And I feel like that's something I'm still continuing trying to work on, like what to engage in, what not to, and protecting my energy, but also protecting my peace of mind too. So, yeah. Mm. But I always felt like burning smoke kind of gave me that sense of like, okay, now I feel more relieved that I burned like sage to cleanse my body from the day I had or something like that, or ceremonial purposes.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I remember when I spent a short time in Puerto Rico, I used to walk at night to Burger King because Burger King used to stay open till 2 a.m. And when it was really super hot, I had no air conditioner or a fan, I would go there, and a lot of people would go there like really late at night, and to cool down, you know, to cool down. And people thought I was crazy because I had to walk back to where I was staying. It was like maybe a 5-minute walk in the dark, and everyone used to say, "Yo, you're crazy. You're crazy. You know, there's, you know, there's spirits out there, you know, and they're not good." You know, they used to have all these stories, you know, it was cool. If you go back to the archives of Taino Radio, there was a man that I did interview. It's one of the early shows in Taino Radio, and he shared a story. I'll share that later. But so one day I was walking back, right, and I was getting scared, you know, like the goosebumps. And then I remember a car went by, right? And they yelled, "El cuco, el cuco." They started yelling at me. So I thought they were calling me, like I'm the cuco, you know, because they probably thought I was, because it was dark, you know, there's no lighting or anything. They probably thought I was just like a cuco skinwalker, right? But then, you know, I got startled. And then when the car went by, I turned back. And I saw a figure running across the street, like on highway. But
oh my
it wasn't
gosh.
Like human. It, It was like a streak. Like, so I think that's what they saw. It wasn't me. It was like they saw something. So I was getting like these goosebumps, like, oh man, like, but personally, I don't think it was evil or bad, you know. It was just an entity, you know, like something, you know. And then I was like, oh my God, you know, my cuco trauma came out, you know. But then I managed to go back to the house, you know, where I was staying, and I was just like, all those memories of the cuco,
wow.
Just like, is the cuco real, you know, like, what the hell, you know? I never
wow.
shared that publicly, but they saw something behind me.
Right.
And I thought it was
wow.
me.
He
was
following you to Burger King.
But I was walking back home. You know, here in the city street. Huh? Well, you know how in the city streets there's or in the highways there's lighting. Where I was, there was no lighting. The the headlights of the car was the lighting.
No.
So I guess when they saw me, I thought they thought I was the cuco. They said, cuco. And then I turned around. It was just it took off. It was too fast to be a human being, you know. So
right.
I'm like, oh, dang it. So I never forgot that, you know. That was that was kind of a cool, you know. And then sometimes after that, I will walk back to Burger King, you know, the other nights. This time I will carry a flashlight. But
right.
But I
yep.
remember I will shut.
Mm-hmm.
But I will shut the flashlight and I will look in the forest, and I can tell like they were looking back. Like I just, you know, before I was like, oh, I don't care, you know. But when you're focusing, I could definitely sense these entities looking at me, you know. But I don't think it was I'll go on record. It was definitely not evil, but it was definitely spirits, you know. So
yeah. The tricksters.
You know, so
right.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The tricksters, right? Yeah, so but thank God it didn't have claws or sharp teeth, because I think I would have been dead.
Thank God it
wasn't
a chupacabra.
Oh, yeah. Mm. I know the chupacabra is
chupacabra.
Actually will attack. Yeah.
What?
That's scary. I've heard that the chupacabras, they don't hold back. Like, they will actually attack.
Well, I have another story about that, if you guys want to hear it.
Yeah.
Yes.
My grandmother, Maria Espada Torres, which is your great-grandmother, Anani, she actually lived in Canoanas. I think for a good 30 years, she moved to Canoanas. And Canoanas was the town, the birth of the chupacabra. And when I was there one summer, they were doing, there was a mayor, Chemo, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was starting a hunting party to capture the chupacabra. So my grandmother was so scared of that I would get killed that she said, no, you're not going. And I'm in my 20s, and I was like, no, you're not going. So this is like history, man. I got to go with them. I mean, there was a whole posse of, you know, people had guns and horses and cars. So then I was so upset she wouldn't let me go. You know, I got to respect grandma, right? Abuelita. So I stayed in my room, and I can hear, you can hear the people, you know, going around looking for chupacabra. And I'm trying to see if I see the people, but it's a lot of woods, you know. I swear I sense an entity, physical entity, walking the side of the house. And her house faced the Yunque, so it's all mountains. And I was, man, to this day I regret it, but I kind of sense that this whoever this was, it wasn't human, and it wasn't like a dog, you know. It had like 2 feet, and it was like hiding out, like you know when you run away, you're hiding, you're not captured. And then
wow.
And then I tried to look out the window to see what I was looking, you know, feeling, and just took off. But it wasn't a dog. I swear it wasn't a dog. And
wow.
So I'm saying to always regret, man, not going outside and seeing what it was, you know. But it was like someone that was hiding, you know. Could have been the chupacabra. Could have been the chupacabra, you know, but.
Right.
But they never
yeah.
captured it. They never captured the chupacabra. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Just, yeah. You know, I went to the tradition, the creation stories, Taino creation stories, which was written by, allegedly it was by Ramon Panay. He was a lay friar who Columbus had sanctioned to write everything he could about the spirituality of our ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
And I did find, hold on a second. Wait a minute. Why did it just disappear? Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
Something's in my computer. Okay, hold on a second. Something went in my computer. But there, oh, well, I wanted to read from the text. Wait, hold on a second. Yeah, I can read some of it here. But this, while I'm looking for that, does anybody have anything else to share about any stories or anything like that?
Yeah. I've never, like, encountered, like, creatures, like, actual creatures, but I have encountered what I want to say was a trickster, because it wasn't demonic, but it was more trickster. I feel like also in the Native community, we like to say trickster spiders, coyotes, like, but one day I was home alone. Maybe this was, like, 7 years ago. I was home alone. And I double-checked to make sure I was home alone after this happened, but I was minding my own business just on my computer, and then all of a sudden, I heard someone say my name. It sounded like a male. They said my name, and they started laughing, like crazy laughing, like a clown laughing. Like,
wow.
And then they said my name. And I was like, what the? I literally jumped up, and I was like, hello? And I look out,
man.
And no one was there. I thought it was you, Dad. I thought you came home secretly and, like, wanted to prank me. And then I look, and no one was there. And I was like, what the heck? So I felt like that was a trickster, like, trying to jump scare me or something.
Oh, it's funny. You say trickster. Do you mean, like, maybe, like a – okay, you say – it's funny. You're definitely the Native perspective. A lot of people
yeah.
will say demons or something like that, right? Like a demon.
Yeah.
Or...
yeah. But it didn't feel like it was a dark, like, energy. It just felt like someone was just trying to pull a prank, and it happened to be a spirit or something. Because they said
oh,
my name.
Man.
They knew who I was. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
But I wasn't,
and it was
like,
nothing there?
Nothing was there. I checked. Nothing was there. And it came from, like, the hallway. Like, you know, when you live in an apartment, you have, like, hallways. It came from the hallway.
Wow.
And I've always felt like energy and spirits definitely are in this apartment, but that was, like, the only
yeah.
time where I encountered something like that.
Yeah. How about you, Bala and Neil?
Oh, I have a lot. I have plenty. you know, just being, you know, a medium, I always have different types of, you know, spirits come to me. As a kid, I've seen a lot. I would say the one thing that, like, stood out to me, it was like a while, like years ago, I would say, like, probably 10 plus years ago. I remember I was sleeping, and I, like, woke up out of nowhere. But for some reason, like, my curtain, like, moved. And I was like, okay. So I looked again, and this time I was already, like, wide awake, and, like, a weird, like, face. Like, it was like, it looked like a triangle head. Like, if you guys ever saw, like, Resident Evil, that kind of head shape, but everything was, like, all black, and it had, like, long black fingers. And
oh my gosh.
Just, like, it literally just tilted my head, and then I tilted my head, I blinked. And then it was gone. And then
oh,
I told my
God.
Dad. And then my dad was like, here's a cross. Put it on your bed. I said, okay.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah, he gave me a cross. Because as I was, like, a kid, like, I would see all these different kinds of, like, spirits. Or
tricksters, because with like these spirits, they like to, what I've noticed, they like to present themselves how they want to present themselves. And majority of the case, they like to present themselves in a way that we feel fearful, which I have noticed from my personal like experiences. I know before I'll be in my house and I'll see like shadow people, like just shadows just walking by. Mm-hmm. I remember one time one of them knocked on my door. I opened my door. There was no one there. I said, oh, okay.
Wow.
So I had a lot of experiences. And then another time I remember someone like rang the doorbell and I saw the person outside of my house. And then I asked my mom, I was like, oh, did someone like knock on the door? And she said, no. And I looked, and the person was gone. But it was like it was like literally, it looked like a person. And he literally just disappeared.
I'm seeing them spirits. Wow.
Yes. Literally with my physical eye. And I'm like, oh, okay. Then as I got older, like I got used to it. And then, you know, me doing my protections and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Has helped. But I have a lot of encounters.
Wow.
You know, in all these encounters, like also, you know, what I experienced, I know a lot of traditions, they refer to these as, you know, especially the negative situations as demonic or the devil, you know. Do you guys, in your experiences, do you believe that's true, though? That there's a personification of some evil energy, negative energy, actually, what do you call it? Like a personality that's the devil, you know, controlling these spirits or controlling the narrative of negativity, of death, of murder, you know. What do you guys think about that?
I would say for me personally, I believe in like low vibrational spirit, or if you want to say entities. I wouldn't call them like evil, because that term doesn't resonate with me.
Okay,
I always see spirits as high vibrational and then low vibrational. And from my personal like practices, when it comes to like low vibrational, I feel like they are more attracted. Like, for example, if someone's constantly arguing, right, that you would consider that negative. They will be more attracted to the negative aspects, because that's something that that matches the level of energy that they're on. But in my opinion, I wouldn't consider that evil, if that makes sense.
Interesting. Yeah, no, that's for me. Well, this is the whole question, the problem. How about you, Anani?
Oh, no, I was just finding what Bana said to be so true. Like, it kind of connects to also, like, I believe that evil does exist, but it's because people make that choice. People make their own choices to do what they're going to do, like wake up and they make that choice on what to do. And now there are certain evils that sometimes aren't in control, like mental illness. A lot of people are highly disturbed with mental illness, and, you know, sometimes that's out of their control and will. And then there's like spiritual warfare that's going on right now, I find. But, I mean, I have my own different beliefs and stuff, but it's true, like, people's energy, that's the true, like, good or evil, good or bad, yin-yang, you know? I feel like there has to be a balance, and people just have to choose overall more sense of goodness in this world.
Wow. You know, I was looking at your tradition, what our ancestors thought, you know, what they thought. And, I mean, you know, we've got all these great stories, the Kuko, and, you know, our own personal experiences in the Caribbean, these rituals that have been passed on generation to generation, you know. That whole sense of protection is so important, you know. But, you know, I was looking at the sources, you know, the Ramon Panay, and allegedly, I don't believe he totally wrote it, but that's a different show, right? But the thing is that, right, that, well, here's the thing. The only part that I can find that really talks about, like what our ancestors thought about these, you know, when things go wrong, you know, like destruction and stuff, was chapter 23, right, Ramon Panay's work. It talks about a semi called Guamansesh, right?
Mm.
So let me read from the text itself. And again, you know, we can't take this so literal because, you know, our people didn't write it, but allegedly it was dictated to them, Ramon Panay and other writers. So this is what they wrote. There was a semi called Guamansesh, and she lived in the country of a great cacique, one of the chiefs, and his name was Aumatesh. And this semi is a woman, and they say that there were two others in her company. One they call a crier, and the other a gatherer, or governor of the waters. And when Guamansesh is angry, they say that she raises the wind, and she brings rain, and throws down houses and shakes the trees. And this semi, they say, is a woman, and she was made of stone of that country. Now, there were other two semis that were with her, and one was named Guatauba. She was the crier or proclaimer. And by the order of Guamansesh, she proclaimed that all the other semis of that province shall help raise a high wind and bring heavy rain. Now, the other one is named Coacrisquie, who they relate gathers the water into the valleys between the mountains and then lets them loose to destroy the country. This they are positive about. This is the only thing I could find that was kind of like, you know, kind of show some destruction and, you know, some negative stuff going on. What do you guys think? So let's break it down. There's Guamansesh, right, who's feminine, and she had two helpers, Guatauba, which we can safely say was the semi of thunder and lightning, the proclaimer, right? You know, when before the storm comes, you see lightning, right, and thunder, and then you get nervous,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you got Coacrisquie, who carries the water up the mountain. And all that water from the hurricane comes down and destroys the villages.
Yeah.
Kind of a destructive force. What do you guys think about these?
No, what were we going to say about these?
No, what do you think about these three feminine images here?
Well, I see it as like a natural destruction, right?
Right. Mhm.
Like, oh my God, I don't know. This is so complex.
Yeah, this is the closest we can get to our ancestral worldview, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't find anything that related to evil. Or, I mean, there was another one, but we'll talk about that later. But go ahead. Bana, you have any insight on that?
I feel like just with this creation story, in my personal opinion, like I wouldn't see this form of destruction as like bad.
Yeah.
Like Anani said, I feel like it's more like a natural thing. I feel like it's like it shows kind of a form of balance, because it's like with
this story is just like it's natural occurrence, but then it's just like something that is like, it also just reminds me of just like duality. And that's kind of the point that I'm kind of trying to like speak more about. It just shows that balance between, you know, if you want to say positive or negative. But in my personal opinion, right. I don't think it's like evil or like negative.
Yeah, right. I don't think it is either.
It's a very complex story, like Anani said. But no, I don't think it is. I just feel like it's just something that needs to happen.
Yeah.
In order to balance.
Right. Well, you know, Anthony Arroyo Stevens, so I had the pleasure of, you know, taking a private lesson from him and his wife in one of my classes when I was in a seminary. And he was talking about how the feminine supreme being, the feminine aspect, which is Atabe, and then he talked about Guavasesh as the Atabe is the calm waters, childbirth, life, right? And then Guavasesh is the opposite. She's he referred to as the menstrual cycle. Like, menstrual cycle relates to death, you know, the period of a woman, you know, menstrual cycle, right? Death. But it's also replenishing. It's starting all over again, the whole cycle, right? Where, you know, where a woman can get pregnant. A woman can get pregnant in the next period. But at that point, it's destruction. It's and also the mood of the woman, you know, how they get very angry at times, you know, moody because of the changes that's going on, right? So there's psychological, there's a physical and there's a psychological. So that's what he talks about in his writing, you know, there's life and death. And with that comes emotions, you know. And it is text, like you said, it's a natural thing. But when they say that the one name, Coacristie, she gathers the water in the valleys and between the mountains, and then it lets the water loose and then destroys the country, you know. And a lot of writers have talked about how it was like a punishment. A lot of people interpret that as a punishment, like the gods are angry, you know. But I don't see that, right? Mm-hmm. Do you guys see that? I mean, I'm sorry. Let me take that back. You guys did say that. Like, it's more of a natural occurrence, right? It's like, it's not like a personal vendetta against human beings, right?
From
beings. But I can also understand why people would think that, especially if they come from a different like background or upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly, especially if you live in the mountains and there's hurricanes, ferocious hurricanes. That's like Hurricane Maria, right, that literally killed like over more than 5,000 people, you know, thousands of people, you know. But yet, like in the Cave of the Hagua, it talks about how the hurricane comes, destroys all the bohios, but then it's rebirth. It's time to rebuild again, you know. It's an opportunity to rebuild. So I think the destruction of the village, of the hurricane, because we're actually reading about the power of a hurricane, Huracán. But it's not an evil thing. It's more like a rebirth, right? Like it's going to start all over again, right? That menstrual cycle is, even though it hurts, I mean, I don't know how it feels. I'm not a woman, but I guess you guys could testify to the pain of the menstrual cycle, right? And you know it's gonna come back, right?
That's a good comparison.
What's that?
That's a good comparison.
Yeah, well, I think this is how our ancestors story in nature, you know. Hold on a second. I'm looking at it. And any further thoughts on that? Let me see. any other insights? Mm-hmm. I mean, you as women, you know, this whole sense of life and death, you know, you feel it. It's in your existence, right? The whole sense that you have the potential to give birth, but then you experience death, right? From the ovum, right? Of the menstrual cycle. It's like that potential is gone for that month, right?
So yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Our ancestors saw that, right? They experienced that. And then they saw nature. So it's not an evil thing, right? We see blood. You know, there's a lot of people, a lot of traditions that see blood as you know, the menstrual cycle as dirty or not pure, you know? What do you guys think about that?
I feel like people don't have to, like, acknowledge that it's also just a cycle of cleansing in a way. Like, you know,
mm-hmm.
we have, like, the menstrual cycle, right? The females and males, we have a bunch of, like, life that we carry. And I feel
mm-hmm.
like as we go through our own life, you're cleansing. And for girls,
yeah.
it happens to be monthly.
yeah.
And it's weird that it has to be in such a painful way. But I feel
mm-hmm.
like there's a message behind that too.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like with
yeah.
Mother Earth, she's also cleansing herself, right? With natural disasters
mm-hmm.
and, you know, things that people could see as like evil, right? But it's just
mm-hmm.
things that the Earth naturally does.
Yeah. You know, back in the 80s, there was a book that came out. It was written by a rabbi. His name was Harold Kushner.
Mm-hmm.
You guys should buy it if you haven't read it. When Bad Things Happen to Good People. That was a big question back in the 80s. Like, you know, why do bad things happen to good people? And in the book, he talks about his daughter. She died very young. It was a car accident. And he questioned God. Like, you know, why did you take my daughter? You know, I do all these great things. I'm a rabbi. I serve the people, you know. Why did
mm-hmm.
you take my daughter? You know, that was his agony, you know, his question to God. You know, why all these bad things happen to people who try to do good? So in his book, he confronts that question. But I never forgot the example he gave that he was reading at the time, that it was like a Mexican village, that the whole village was destroyed. Thousands of people died. Because it was a landslide on the mountain,
mm-hmm.
destroyed
mm-hmm.
everyone. People didn't have a chance to escape, to run. And then a lot of people said that at the time they were saying, oh, because there were a lot of witches and brujeria and this and that. That, you know, God's wrath destroyed that town, you know. And
yeah.
you know, they weren't good people, you know they were serving the devil. You know, a lot of people were saying this. You know, and so he was saying, no, it wasn't evil. It wasn't the devil. It was because they built a village next to a mountain that historically had mudslides. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And then in the 80s, that's when they started experiencing Nino and Nina, the whole climate change started beginning, you know, real strong.
Yeah.
So that's what he said. So you guys kind of remind me of that. Like, it's a natural occurrence. It's not evil. This is what happens, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
So what do you guys think about that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry, Bana. I wasn't sure if you were going to talk.
I wasn't sure if you was going either. So
no, you go.
Wait, they grabbed her. They grabbed her.
My tongue, I'm sorry. But I also wanted to add about, you know, being, you know, a woman and having, you know, menstrual cycle. During our cycle, like, that is where our true power comes from. And that's where
mm-hmm.
we tap into that true power at that moment during our cycle. So it's also cleansing, but then it's also time for us to tap into that power so that we can, you know, for example, if we wanted to manifest something in our lives, we tap into that power during our cycle.
And, you know, being a woman, I always think of us as being a creator. We create things. We create children, but then we can also create, you know, business, different projects. So tapping into that power, like, during our cycle is very, you know, empowering and it's very beautiful. And I don't see that as something that is, you know, evil or negative. And I always just feel like it's just like a balance. And just being a woman too, like, you know, we deal with a lot of things. So with our emotions being heightened, that's kind of where the destruction can come into play. So just listening to the story just like shows that as well. Like, as women, when we don't take people's shit, that means we're going to be destructive, right? But then we're also very, very caring and loving, and we could give someone the world. But if you mess with us, we'll let you have it. So I also see that as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
You're right.
You know, our ancestors in 1492, they were the first indigenous peoples to experience an invasion, you know, an invasion that pretty much decimated, not exterminated, but decimated majority of the culture, you know. But we did manage to survive, you know. Our ancestors did. They carried the secrets of the medicine, the plant medicine, the rituals, the midwives, right? They kept going, you know. But the devastation is like, but I still couldn't read anything about, you know, there was a prophecy. There was a Kaisihu. It was a Behige called Kaisihu. And his, according to Ramon Panay, this Kaisihu had a vision that a strange people will come to the land dressed, and they will be dressed in clothing, you know, different from them, and they would end the culture of the caciques, you know, as they knew it. But in that story that Ramon Panay wrote from this Kaisihu, Kaisihu didn't say these demons came or the devil came, you know. He just said a strange people came, you know, and he was witnessing. They were all witnessing this invasion, you know, bloodbaths, destruction, murders. And they still didn't have this word of evil or destruction. You know what I mean? Evil or devil, you know. It wasn't part of the language, you know what I mean? What do you guys think about
that?
Yeah.
I felt like our ancestors, they were such in a peaceful place, maybe they didn't have to recognize the evil, you know? Or like it wasn't just in their books for them, because they were such in a different mindset and place. Like, felt like they were in a higher vibration.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Right?
Okay, I'm sorry. I stand corrected. I always get these wrong. It wasn't a Behike, it was a cacique, Kaisihu. That he personally, in his vision, he spoke to Yokahu, which is the masculine aspect of God, you know. And,
yeah.
So actually, this is the quote. And they say that this cacique confirmed that he had spoken with Yokahu, who had told him that whoever remained alive after his death, Kaisihu, should enjoy the rule over them only in a short time, because they would see in their country a people clothed, which was to rule them and to slay them, and that they should die of hunger. Now, let me see. The key thing here is a people, you know. Now, this people came to rule and to slay them, and they will die of hunger. Which, when you think of that word hunger, that for us was like the worst thing that can happen, you know. Because our, as we know, our ancestors, you know, they planted, they fished, you know, they did everything possible for everyone to eat, right? You know, they said those prayers to Baraguabaer so the plants can grow, you know, and Yokahu, they planted the semid, Yokahu, so the yuca can grow. So hunger is like, that's like the worst, man, you know? But yet they kept on. He didn't say an evil will come to us, you know? So, you know, I like to challenge the listeners and all of us that when, you know, when we listen to our ancestors, the responsibility is of evil acts, you know, what we call evil, or I like to say destructive acts. It's not a specific entity or devil. It's us. It's humans. Mm. It's the people, right?
Yeah.
You
know,
it's true.
Right?
Yeah.
There's another story in the stories of Ramon Pané of our people, of the responsibility of the Behique, and in the story it talks about how this Behique came and he did this ritual to save someone from who was very sick, right? And then in the story the person died, and then the family got really angry. You know, they were mourning the death, and they got really angry, and they killed the Behique. They chopped him up in pieces, and they buried his body. You know, they buried the pieces, right? And then soon afterwards, they saw the Behique. You know, when he was buried, these snakes came and they put him back together again. They gave him the power. You know, so he comes.
Wow.
And check this out: the Behique comes back to the village. You know, and they were like, "What the hell?" You know, like he's back.
Wow.
So I think that's a great example of like human destruction needs to be confronted. You know what I mean? But in a good way, in a positive way. You know, like medicine will always men, women will always win against destruction. You know. You can kill me, but I'll be back. The medicine will be back. You understand? So it's like, I think that's very important to understand that we do live in a world that's a lot of destruction. There's mudslides, there's hurricanes, and there's people with guns that actually kill 3 9-year-olds that we saw the other day, right? And three adults. We live in that kind of world, man.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if you guys have any thoughts on that, any insights.
I was just going to say, like, we were gifted, and I feel like you see this across all religions and cultures and beliefs. Like, we can all say that we've all been gifted with this opportunity to be born on this planet. And it's not the planet that's destructive, right? Besides the natural things that happen with nature and stuff, it's the things that humans do. Like you said, Senakori, like we create the destruction, we create the bad. And at what cost? You know, I feel like it's going to come to a certain point where everyone's going to be fully regretful of it. And that's why it's so important to look at these teachings and these stories to kind of remind ourselves that, you know, if they could do it, we could do it too, right?
That's right. Yeah. You know, it's funny when the Spaniards, when they went to Mexico, I said this many times on the show, when they went to Mexico, they found out about the gold there and all that. They pretty much abandoned the islands, you know, and they left the Taino, the African slaves, you know, they just left the islands and they went to Mexico in huge numbers. Looking for wealth. And our ancestors, they saw that what they were taking with them, they weren't going to survive the journey. So they knew, you know, they knew Mexico, they knew the elements, you know, and the environment. So they gave them 1 year's worth of cassava bread, you know. so they can survive. Who does that, right? Like, here's your, you're feeding the murderer, you're feeding the rapist, right? The invader. But here's food because we don't want you to die.
Yeah.
You know. So it's like it's a mindset, right? To be that positive, right? To be I believe is being a human being, a complete human being that understands the physical limitations, understands that we do have a mental health element to it, emotional and spiritual, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and they protected that, right? So I believe our ancestors definitely did not have an understanding of a devil or demons, you know. But they had, but they understood that there was a problem, right, in human behavior. That's the
yeah.
Mm-hmm. But we're not going to, okay, here's the thing, but we're not going to be like them, right? Some did, though.
Mm.
Some did join the Spanish army. You know, when Cotumanama and Higüey in the Dominican Republic when he led the war party, you know, against the Spanish, they were greeted with 100 warriors that were on the Spanish side, you know. So, again, human destruction, right?
Yeah.
So, damn. Medicine is the key, right? So I don't know.
Yeah.
I know a lot of churches. I know a lot of religions. They do blame a devil. They do blame that there's an evil force that's controlling, you know, the stuff that's going on. But I don't know. I think it's a way of it's an easy way out. I think it's important that we confront each other, right? Do better.
Yeah,
right?
It's like an excuse. It's like an excuse for like, well, that's why that person did it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the devil exists. Yeah. But it's like, why can't we look at just them and their actions? Why does it always have to lead back to the devil, right?
Yeah.
I definitely agree with
you.
I was just going to add, too, it's just like holding people accountable. Certain individuals have a tendency that they don't like to hold other individuals accountable for their actions, and everything always fall under like, oh, it's the devil works. But like, we're living on earth to live a human experience, right? Not everything always fall under, you know, spiritual aspects. And to see that person made a decision, therefore there's consequences.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know, you know, I know a lot of people, a lot of natives that I know of believe in curses. And, you know, I have a second cousin who believes in curses, that it was a curse in the family, you know. There's a lot of people who believe that, you know. But once again, when you break it down and all of that, it's human experience, right? It's language. We're trying to figure out these mysteries, right? We're trying to figure it out so we put words to it, like a curse, the devil. But there's deeper meanings behind all that too, you know? I don't know, there's a lot of mysteries. We talk about today, these spirits that we see or we hear knocking on the door, running across the highway, like what is that? But we survive, right? It didn't kill us. It's an experience, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's negative, sometimes it's negative, and sometimes it's positive, you know?
That's true.
It's funny today. Oh, I don't know. You know the store that I go to that's $10? It was $10 today night, $10, $7 tomorrow. Well, today, guess what I found? Guess what I found? And I need to know that.
What'd you find?
You know, I'm a martial artist. I found two knives made out of wood. They're practicing knives made out of wood. High quality.
Awesome.
It's worth at least $60, you know? And so I'm carrying it, right? I'm carrying it. Oh, this is mine, man. Actually, I was thinking of you, Anani. We need to practice, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so this, So this mom comes up to me, a mom, like, she looks South American, and she asks me, oh, did you see more of those knives? I'm like, actually, I didn't, you know. And then she goes, oh, okay. And then I saw the two boys behind her. And they're like, wait. And I gave her the knives, you know. Because, you know, kids, right?
Yeah.
So then when I went to buy, you know, I went to check out the owner. He says, you know, brother, mm-hmm. I love what you did, man. Thank you so much for doing that, you know. And that positive energy he gave me, it made my night, you know. Like, oh, shit, you know. So,
yeah.
So you know what I mean? It's like, that's what it's all about, you know. Like, you know, like,
yeah.
Hey, man, thank you, man, for making their night, you know. Like, oh, shit. And it's funny because the kids came back and they gave me their raffle tickets. So, because they have raffles every Saturday, you know. So they gave me their raffle tickets. The kids did.
That's so awesome.
So I'm like, you don't. Yes, yeah, so I said, oh, you don't have to, man. I said, no, it's all right. Here. And they gave me the tickets. So now I got three raffle tickets for today. Yo, I got to win, man. Nice.
Yeah.
You will win just because of that, you know, nice act of deed.
It's going to
come
back
to medicine.
Huh?
Yeah. I really don't know if this medicine man is still alive, but his name was Leonis. If anyone's listening, he was a Mexican culandero. He used to cure people, you know, back in I heard about him back in the late 80s, and he used to make a lot of cures, just like Frank Fool's Crow, but from Mexico. And there's a book called The Shadow Keepers, right? And in that book, he says the old indigenous peoples didn't believe good versus evil. He said the battle is positive versus negative. What am I going to do to help my relative? What am I going to do to help the stranger, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he used to teach people how to be positive. That was his ritual, mm-hmm. how to be positive, you know? And he, mm-hmm. and I remember reading, he used to say, people used to come to him because they wanted to commit suicide. And he would tell them, why you want to kill yourself over a lesson? You're just learning. It's all right. It's a lesson. You just learn. But it's up to you to learn. It's up to you to figure out what's the lesson you need to learn. And once you do that, you're going to be happy. So, or you're going to accept, you know. So I thought that was kind of interesting how that's how the old people used to teach. That's how they used to cure. They would look at the individual and they'd say, okay, how can we turn your life around in a positive way? So they didn't blame an evil spirit, or they didn't blame this disease. And I said, okay, what can you do now to change your life around? You know?
Yeah.
What do you guys think about that? That's some ancient medicine practice right there, you know?
So. It's so true.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. That's actually something that I'm currently working on.
Oh, really?
I just love the fact to see other people share their light with others. I know, like, in my work field, since I work with animals, like, I'm always comforting, like, the owners. Because, you know, that's, like, their loved one that they're, you know, taking care of. But I just love seeing other people just sharing their light in their everyday lives, just being, like, genuine. And I feel like, you know, everybody has their own value. And just being able to share that with someone just by saying hello to them or saying thank you or, you know, making someone else day, it's, like, very empowering and very beautiful. And then when it comes to just that ancient way of thinking of just, like, trying to think more positive, that's something, like, I'm working on. Because, you know, you have your bad days. You have your moments where you're just, like, you have, like, those negative, intrusive thoughts that come through. But just trying to, you know, shift that energy and to
think of a positive outcome, and then just to understand that everything that comes your way is always going to teach you something, because we're always constantly learning. And I'm always learning something new about myself. So I really just like that concept. So thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, no problem. You know what's interesting? I might get a little theological here, but when I was a Catholic, I was a Franciscan, as many people know, Capuchin. And I remember when I was going to Seton Hall University, it was a seminary there, they had a series called What is Hell? Right? It was during Lent, the Lenten season. And the last class was on, you know, like every week was a, every Wednesday was an aspect of hell in the Bible, interpretation of hell in the Bible, and certain saints. So one of my professors, he was, forget his name now, it's been so long, but he was an expert in St. Augustine. And I don't expect you guys to know who St. Augustine was, but he was one of the early scholars in the Roman Church. And his writings, he wrote that there's more people in hell than in heaven. You know, I think it was St. Augustine. So, so the work, I had to go to the event. It was called St. Augustine in Hell. And he was the keynote speaker, but because he was my professor, I had to go, right? And then so I said, all right, let me go get some brownie points, right? So, yo, check this out. This guy was like maybe close to 90 years old, wrote hundreds of books on St. Augustine, right? So he gets up, right? No lie. He gets up on a podium and he says, I'm not going to spend a whole bunch of time lecturing, but I just want to say of all my years teaching St. Augustine, I just want to say that he was wrong, right? And people were like, What? You know, you hear the crowd going crazy, right? St. Augustine was wrong. He had it the opposite. If there is a hell, there's maybe two people there if there's a hell. Because once you see God, no matter how did he put it? No matter how bad of a sinner you are, say you murder, murder, rape, no matter who you are, once you see God, the supreme being, right? Once you see the true reality, that's when you're going to change. That's when you're going to heal. That's when you're going to say, holy damn, this is it, man. And but since God is all love, God will accept you, you know?
Yeah.
And he says, if there is a hell, I want to know who's going to turn their back on that love, you know? And it's like, oh, my God. And he had tears, you know, tears are coming now. And I'm like, yo, he got it, man. And he made me look at it like, it's true, right? You know? If there is a God that's all-powerful, all-loving, that created the flowers, that created you, me, right, the earth, you know, we say it's Atare Yokahu. Who can go against that, right?
Yeah.
A devil, a demon? It's there's no way they could confront God, right? It's a contradiction. So he made me understand that, you know, that the way the world is made up, the human beings, our true nature is positive, you know?
Yeah.
But we gotta help one another. That's the key. We gotta help one another. And this is what our ancestors, this is what they knew. Shit, we gotta help one another. You know when you're old and you can't fish anymore, you know, you bring fish to the elderly, you know, or bring food to them. I don't know. It's just it's a different way, right? The ancient ways, right?
Yeah.
The indigenous way. You know. So if the devil does exist, hey, come to Taino Radio. We'll give you some love. You know, I'll put it out there. Come on, devil, if you exist, yo, chill out, man. Just calm down. Give you some cold water. Give you some Mavi. Cool down, man. Why are you such a hothead?
Right.
Oh, my God. So, guys, you have any final comments? Yo, I can't believe Taino Radio, it's kicking me off. We only have, like, 2 minutes left. I can't believe it. I'd like to apologize to all you listeners out there. Listen, you know what this means? We're going to have a part two. How about that? We're going to open up the boards next time. Because I ran out of time. Oh, man. Taino Radio is going to knock me off in less than a minute. So all you listeners out there, please come back. Email Taino Radio at TainoRadio1491@gmail.com. Spread the love, not the hate, right?
Yeah.
You have any final comments? Anani, go next. And then Bana, you have any final comments?
Love and light always wins. Remember, treat others the way you would like to be treated, and that's always going to be with kindness.
There you go.
I would like to say to just be open and very understanding to other people's perspectives. We're all entitled to our own opinion, but just be open and listen.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful. Be open and listen. We have to listen. Conel, one of the semis, Conel. I mean, one of the spiritual beings, Conel, to listen. Well, guess what? I'm going to play one more song, then we're done. I hope they don't cut us off, but this is a song I always play. It's my favorite song, written by Juan Luis Guerra. I said this before, right? You guys heard me before.
Yeah.
In 1992, when they were celebrating the evangelization of the Americas, he wrote this song, and basically it's in Taino, and he said, please, don't kill us. So here is Taka Naboria Mayani Makana. Blessings to you, ladies. See you soon, Taino Radio. Thank you, listeners. God bless you all. Bo Guatukan.
Maya ne makana.